Hello, all you growers out there. Jordan River here. Thank you for tuning in to GrowCast today. A quick reminder, GrowPass will be closing membership registration January 7th. So now's your time to get a GrowPass membership. Head on over to mygrowpass.com and check it out, everybody. Today, I've got an awesome episode for you. We have Joshua Rutherford back on the line. You know Joshua Rutherford. You may know him as Dutch Blooms on Instagram. He's a regenerative soil guy. He's a true fan favorite, so I'm excited to speak to him today, as well as have him on for a breeder feature shortly. So you're going to get a double dose of Dutch Blooms coming your way. Before we get started, though, let's give a little love to our partner, Dr. Zymes, everybody. The amazing Dr. Zymes. Just go to drzymes.com, drzymes.com. Promo code GROWCAST10 gets you 10% off your Dr. Zymes just for listening to this show. And members of mygrowpass.com get 25% off their pest control, everybody. All natural pest control. The amazing Dr. Zymes Eliminator is a revolutionary green solution that kills and eliminates soft-bodied insects, molds, and mildews on your indoor or outdoor gardens. Eliminator is a proprietary formula, handcrafted to ensure quality control. And professional growers use it all year round to ensure pest-free, mildew-free plants. It is OMRI listed, and it is completely residue-free. It's just an enzyme, everybody. And that means you won't be having any of that on your flowers when you're done using it. So go to drzymes.com, GrowCast10 for 10% off. And when you're ready for 25% off your all-natural pest control, join mygrowpass.com. All right, everybody, let's jump in to the interview with Dutch Blooms, Joshua Rutherford. Enjoy the show, everyone. Thanks for listening. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to GrowCast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. We have back on the show a return guest. So excited. Oh, I was a little too excited. We got to do the intro here. Make sure you're subscribed. Give us a rating and review. Please tell a friend about GrowCast. We appreciate when you guys share the show, do the rating and review, and check out The Homegrown Helpers by Rob Smith and my new show, The Coffee, Health, and Science Podcast that Joshua is appearing on. That's fantastic, man. That's today's guest, Joshua Rutherford. How you doing, Joshua?
I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I just did the weirdest GrowCast intro ever. And that's
all good.
You know what? It is what it is. I've done 1,000 of these fucking things, and I feel like it was somewhat coherent. So we're just plowing straight ahead, man. Joshua, you came on the show. It was a long time ago now, man. It's funny how time flies. Just dropped a bunch of science on Korean natural farming and microbial life and all this great stuff. You're doing the regenerative soil conferences. We got to talk about that. Just tell me what's been going on in between the last time we spoke and now. How are the conferences? How is the mission of saving the world through regenerating soil going?
Tiring. it's fall, so I'm coming off of farm. I'm still putting up the farm and finishing harvesting and doing fall things, so I'm tired. I'm looking forward to a little bit of winter siesta from the manual labor. But it's been good, man. We have got the conferences all lined out. We've got dates set. We have tickets for sale. We have speakers booked. And we're really excited. We're calling this year version 2.0, going deeper down the rabbit hole.
Nice.
Because we wanted to bring, we weren't sure where to go. And I really wanted to take everything to the next level. I didn't want to repeat what we did last year. We didn't want to do a repeat, and so I was kind of wanting to bring in some new speakers. But as we thought about it, Leighton and I, we realized that kind of the side mission of the conference, at least my side mission, was to get all these speakers together and, maybe give them a beer, get them stoned a little bit, and let them rip it up,
Yeah.
And learn from each other and challenge each other. I thought it was going to happen, naively on the first conference, but it actually took 2 years, and us kind of going on the road to the last conference we did in Portland. We were all just hanging out in the hotel room, and it was great. I just looked around the bar. We were all huddled around, and people were ripping up and going deep. And I was kind of listening to these side conversations. And I thought this would never would have happened,
That's so cool.
It's really cool. And so the learning that is what I'm trying to say, the learning that's gone on and the pushing of each other, it's really brought a lot of new information. So,
yeah. And it's funny how those shows, or not shows, those projects need to kind of take shape and like kind of breathe a life of their own. Like, you have an idea of what it's going to be, and then 2 years later, it kind of grows into its own thing. Is that fair to say?
Totally. Yeah. Yeah,
totally, man.
So it's pretty cool. And everyone's been, I also just wanted to say, all the speakers have been doing a ton of their own work, you know, and just going deep. And I'm like, holy hell, like, we are all in rapid learning mode, you know, and so we have a lot to share.
So cool, man. I'm loving it. How about some upcoming ones? My listeners are like, where are you going? Where can I come see you?
Yeah, let's see. I don't have to look at the website myself. The first one is in Vancouver, British Columbia, January 10th, 11th, and 12th.
Ooh, fantastic. Then, all my Canadian listeners. I know there's a lot of you up there.
Yeah, we need the you Canadian listeners pop on it. So we aren't doing ticket sales at the door this year. We had too many problems with not being well organized.
Oh, honest. Wow.
And so we ended up losing a lot of money in ticket sales. And so we decided we're going to cap the event at 400 people, each of them, and then we're going to do pre-sale only. So buy tickets online, regenerative organic cannabis. Yeah, so that's the deal. When we're going up to Canada, Canada was awesome. We do it the same weekend as the Lyft conference, so people can go back and forth if they need to. A lot of people are in town for the Lyft conference, and so it works out really well, and we do it in the same area. So
nice.
And then from there, we're going to Humboldt, January 31st, nice. February 1st and 2nd.
Wonderful.
Yeah, Humboldt is awesome. I mean, all these events are awesome, but Humboldt is very special. It's, you know, as you know, it's the legacy of where people have been growing cannabis, you know, black market for a long time. And it shows, you know, all the growers come out, and I am just like, kind of like the, you know, the young kid at the table looking at all these guys who've been growing for 20 years,
totally, man.
Years. And yeah. You know what I mean? It's like really awesome.
So many wonderful, you know, things. Yeah. They're the most open people. The city is awesome. The culture is awesome. The food is awesome. Also some deep roots in regenerative soil science. One of the first episodes of GrowCast was Patrick Smith from Green Bicycles, you know, who's a Humboldt guy who is into the living soil, telling me what's up. You know, this is when I started the show in like late 2014 or whatever. So it's like, I think there's probably a lot of, like you said, old timers who have had their fingers in the regenerative soil science field for quite some time. But sorry, I'm already getting sidetracked and you haven't finished listing the dates.
Oh, it's okay. I get excited too. So from there we go to Michigan. We're going to be at Grow Greens, which is like one of the largest grow stores in the country. It's a huge warehouse. The owners, everyone that works there is super awesome. So that's March 27th, 28th, 29th. And the Michigan people represent straight up. Like, they have some of the best hash, you know, that, you know, so these four places we went to, Michigan had the best hash.
Damn.
Hands down.
All you Michigan growers, you're throwing your fist up in the air as you're listening right now. I love that. Did we get a date on Humboldt? I missed it.
Oh, sorry. Humboldt is January 31st, February 1st and 2nd. Oh,
okay. So and at then, the end of that same month. Okay.
Yep. Yeah. And so they're kind of like every, and then we take a little break and then we come March 27th, 28th, 29th. We're in Michigan. And then we go to Portland, Maine, in the East Coast, April 17th, 18th and
19th. Nice. Fantastic. 420
weekend.
Yeah. So cool, so, man. You must be loving this. Traveling all around, seeing all the different subcultures. Right? Is this like your dream?
It's pretty cool, man. It wasn't something that I like ever planned. I never planned to do a conference or anything like this, but it's pretty awesome. And I was texting Craig Johnson from Alpenglow Farms, and he was saying, man, I can't wait for the conferences. I was like, I can't either, man. Like, I can't wait to see you, dude. I'm excited to like see all these people.
It's awesome, man.
You know, they're kind of my winter friends, you know, and we text and stuff on Instagram, and but we get to hang out in the winter, and it's pretty awesome.
That's really cool, man.
Talk about farming and learn from each other. And it's super cool to be learning from each other.
Tiring, I'm sure, as you said, but pushing that change. So we love it. All you listeners, you know what to do. Support Joshua Rutherford, Dutch Blooms, everything he's doing. Speaking of what you're doing, man, what's piquing your interest right now? What is exciting you the most in the field of regenerative soil science, inside cannabis specifically or not? What do you like to see? Innovations, breakthroughs, anything like that?
Well, me personally, I'm really stoked on seeds and breeding.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay. Let's just jump right in.
Go ahead. It's what I've been excited about. Like, you know, I have this project and we talk about that, but on my farm, I've been breeding, and it's kind of the next evolution for me to be making my own genetics, both on the hemp and the THC side. and I'm having a blast doing it. You know, I got to, on my travels, I was gifted a lot of seed from a lot of people, and it was like, well, am I going to let this sit in a box?
Right.
Or am I gonna plant it?
Take advantage of this, yeah.
Yeah, planted it. I did everything from seed this year, and I got to see a lot of expression, and I got to make a handful of selections, a handful, mind you, male and female. I have like probably less than 5 selections out of, I don't know, probably 3,000 or 4,000 seed.
Wow.
So it was super awesome. That's what's exciting me right now is that concept of being able to make my own seed and move it in a different direction flavor wise, and to find stuff that's going to work in my area, because I'm in a really challenging area. And so that has kind of led to, I'm going to make these seeds. I'm going to be making these lines. How am I going to sell them? You know,
mm-hmm.
It's a lot of work and a lot of money you put in, you know, up front with no plan to sell it other than like mimic what everyone else is doing, right. You know,
not, hope it catches not on.
And just like, just like that seems like a hard game.
Right.
But I'm so passionate about it. So how do I make it work? Well, maybe I'll start a seed bank.
Yeah, that's right. Damn right.
And I thought, well, no one's doing a regenerative seed bank. No one's specifically putting a banner of, you know, living soil seeds. And, you know, what does that mean? You know?
Yeah.
And it was something that I, you know, back to the conference, something that I had noticed years ago that when I,
that's a market
grew seeds.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So when I grew seeds or clones that were grown in organic systems, they performed really well right away in my garden because I was growing in an organic living soil system. When I used clones or seeds that were grown synthetically, it would take me 2 to 3 runs before I'd be able to see the plant perform the way it was in my buddy's garden.
Yeah, the plants that's insane.
They
man.
literally don't know how to uptake the nutrients. So it takes them a minute to adapt to it.
There are so many implications of that. And I want to go on this tangent right now. So here's the thing. We're going to do a 2-parter. We are going to talk about your project, Regenerative Seed Co. And we're going to talk about regenerative genetics right now. We're going to do a part 2 where I want to do a breeder feature where we talk about your strains specifically, what they're going to be like, how they're going to grow, all the things like that. But let's start here, man. Let me start you off, try to fire you up onto a little tangent here. You know, genetic drift is a term that came up a lot on the show and was like a pretty controversial topic. For those of you who may not know, the idea of taking a cut from a cannabis plant, a photoperiod plant, and cloning it for your next run, right? Taking a bunch of cuts that will grow into plants for your next harvest. There was a term called genetic drift, a theory out there that if you continued to clone from a clone from a clone from a clone from a clone, that you would lose some of the desirable traits. The genetics would begin to drift, and it would just become less potent, less whatever, all the traits that you want. It would thin out. It would wear itself out. And the thing is, it seemed to not be true across the board. Like a lot of people pushed back and just said, I've been doing it forever. Am I shit strong? Then I started to put together on this show, talking to people like Joshua Rutherford, the connection that he's saying, which is maybe the way in which you're growing the plant that's being cloned and cloned and cloned has an effect on the lineage itself. And that's when I was like, oh, this makes perfect sense to tie in with living soil. Of course, if you're depriving it of these different biological stimulations, right? Different inputs for the diversity, it makes sense that it might develop health problems down the road, much like a human who isn't getting all of the proper nutrients or whatever will develop both health problems and then have a genetic lineage that is more susceptible to those health problems. Am I making any sense? Do you think that the way that plants are grown kind of contributed to this possible myth of genetic drift? What do you think of all those words I said?
100%. I mean, we could talk for hours, and I don't know how or if it has been proven, but in my mind, it's 100% true that like our society is less healthy because of the food that we're eating, and as parents have children, they have less healthy children because they weren't healthy either. And so we have all these diseases and things going on, and everyone's trying to point a finger as to what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's simply everything.
Yes. You're 100% right, man. Yeah. And doing the Coffee Health and Science podcast, I actually was surprised to hear Sanjeev Chopra, a Harvard medical director, the person, he's the dean of ongoing medication. He said, on my podcast to the public, We are now finding out that organic foods are probably healthier for you than non-organic foods. So hearing that come from a straight up like a Harvard suit, that means that there really is a shift going on, you know?
And that's stage one.
Exactly.
That's like, a woke level one, right? Next level is like, do your organic plants have any nutrients in them?
Right.
Like, great there. They don't have all these bad stuff on them. Because then in my mind, that's what organic is. Organic certified means that you haven't dumped anything bad on it. You haven't killed anything around it.
Yeah, that's true.
It doesn't mean that you have done anything.
Well, I'll tell you this. I know that coffee, organic coffee, is actually really, really strict. It's not just about lack of pesticide use. It goes beyond even the farming practices. It has to do with how it's stored and how it's transported. So I'm not sure I can speak on the rest of the federal guidelines for food, but I do know that coffee, you would be impressed at the guidelines for organic coffee. But that's, I digress.
Cool. Okay, before we jump back in with Dutch Blooms, let's give a little love to Fish Shit, everybody. That's right, from Fishhead Farms. Just go to fishheadfarms.com. Promo code GROWCAST gets you 10% off your fish shit. And members of mygrowpass.com get 25% off all of their fish shit, everybody. What is fish shit? It is a full spectrum microbial product. It's an ecosystem in a bottle, and it can be used from seedling all the way through flush, everyone. Their ecosystem of microbes work to make nutrients more bioavailable, and it does all sorts of things for your plants. It promotes heavy sustainable growth in veg. It works as a transplant aid. It can be used in flour to aid in development of terpene production, aroma, and taste. And like they said, it even breaks down salts and improves the flavor in your product. So it's a great flushing agent, everyone. Bring your media back to life with fish shit. Go to fishheadfarms.com. Promo code GROWCAST gets you 10% off. And members of mygrowpass.com save 25%. All right, everyone, go check out fish shit. Let's get back to the show.
Do you feel that you're gaining more and more traction as far as this whole movement on a like citizen-wide level? Do you ever get pushback still?
I don't really. I'm not really around a whole lot of people anymore that are like growing synthetically, to be honest. So it's not like I'm in a situation where people are really challenging me.
Especially anymore. Peers. What about like the powers that be? Have you been like threatened by?
No, you know, it's interesting because people like, you know, so with the liquor cannabis board who controls my THC license, people that have similar, you know, same licenses in the state, they have all these issues with, you know, the liquor cannabis board. Like, oh, they won't let us do Korean natural farming. And I go, why? Well, they said we can't make our own pesticides. I'm like, well, it's not a pesticide, dude. Like, you know, it's simply how you think about it. Like, does it, well, but we're telling them, it has pesticide properties. Well, it has pesticide properties because you're making the plant healthy, and a healthy plant resists pests. So does that mean a fertilizer is a pesticide?
Right.
No, right. It's just how people think about it and how they express it. So I haven't run to any of that stuff because I've just been very careful. You know, I've done, before I got into cannabis, I was doing vegetables, and I'd done a lot of reading and just heard the woes of all these organic farmers and how they figured out how to get through the cracks. You know, you can't without a poultry license, a USDA poultry processing permit, you can't process chicken on your farm, right? So I couldn't sell you, you know, a breast of chicken that I grew, but I could sell you a whole live chicken. And I could do a free voluntary butchering if you're here. So it's like, it's state dependent, but all these ways, right, that farmers have figured out how to work through these systems.
Yeah, that's interesting, so, man. What are you excited about on your farm? Any specific cannabis like growing practices that you're into that you'd like to discuss?
I mean, I guess I'm really just geeked out on the genetics and on growing IMO, you know, growing compost and biology and just applying it everywhere. Like it's super fun.
So for the listeners, indigenous microorganisms?
Yeah, indigenous microorganisms, you know, and that's the Korean natural farming concept. It's really similar to compost, where you go out and you harvest microorganisms in the forest and you bring them back to the farm and you grow them out on compost type, you know, material. And then you will reapply it through a tea. You brew it out in a compost type tea or an IMO a liquid IMOT, and then you apply it to the plants. And then you can literally see that biology grow, and you can see the plants respond. And it's, I mean, I've been doing it for years, but I've just gotten so much better at it the last couple of years. It's just really fun.
Now, I know that it's different everywhere because of, you know, the first word is indigenous, but what do you find were some of the more effective inputs that you used in recently on your farm?
Well, the one that I came back to this year was fish poop.
Ooh, fish poop. Nice.
Fish poop. Yeah, not hydrolysate, not fermented FAA, fish poop. And so I used to do aquaponics in Minnesota. And even out here, I had a big aquaponics set up in, you know, where I was growing cannabis. But through the process, when I bought this farm, I never set up an aquaponics system for my cannabis farm. I had a small one for my vegetables and stuff. But I used to be in the practice of just always using the aquaponic water. I always watered my plants with aquaponic water. They were always getting fish poop. And I didn't realize, like, this last couple of years, I was like, why am I struggling so much? You know, once I put my plant, my seed or my clone in a 16-ounce cup, and, you know, 3 weeks later, it needs nutrients. Like, what am I? I just, like, kind of dumb moment in my life. Like, what? And I was building an aquaponic system, and I started watering my plants, and they took off, and I went, oh, dude, what are you doing? You totally forgot that you used to do that. And it was, like, so viral. And so it just totally sparked me up again. And I'm really interested in aquaponics in every farm as a way to harvest fish poop, right? Mm-hmm. So what I'm doing now is I'm building a system that's around 1500 gallons. And every week I'll be able to harvest about 5 gallons of fish poop, right, through the filter. And I take that and I dump it into a big 100-gallon brewer, you know, cone bottom brewer that I have on low oxygen level, and it just stabilizes and sits there.
Damn.
And I slowly fill that thing up. And then when I'm growing, you know, when I need to apply it to my plants, I pull off 5 gallons off the bottom and I dump it in a 100-gallon brewer and I add 95 gallons of water and I add a little bit of molasses to give them food, and they take off and the biology grows out and I can go apply it to my crop.
Wow.
And you're getting that water food web, the different organisms, and it's amazing the results.
Yeah, the different stimulations that you want, the multitude of stimulations from aquatic and terrestrial inputs. That makes a lot of sense.
And for an indoor situation, I think, you know, I'm actually going to talk about this at the conference this year. I think it's probably one of the only ways you can really set up a truly regenerative indoor grow, because you can grow all your biology in a small little area without having to go make compost and do all these things.
Yeah, trying to get those closed loop systems going, those fully self-sustainable, providing systems. Shout out to Fish Shit, sponsor. What about people who are watering with, like, aquarium water? Is that a similar, you mentioned it, but is that, like, would you kind of put that on an equal level as using actual fish poop?
Yeah. It's same thing. Idea. You just have to be, same concept, you know, but your aquarium needs to be big if you have a big garden, right?
Right.
You know,
good
just
point.
You don't want, right. You, a so little you bit, just have to figure all that out.
Right.
Yeah. A little bit is not as much, but, like, I'm watering with the plants with it, you know. But when you harvest the fish poop, it's concentrated, right, you know, and then you grow that biology out. And it's kind of a different thing. But just everyone should just have a little small pond, you know, and then just water their plants with that.
That's sick, man. I love that.
I just want to caveat one thing here that don't run it through irrigation systems, period. Do not run biology through irrigation systems.
Right. It'll, that's one of the big drawbacks. Yeah.
Yeah. Biofilm in there, and it'll go anaerobic and be really nasty, and you'll have all sorts of problems.
Right. So is there a solution to that? I know that there are some companies that work really hard at straddling that line between bottled nutrients and, like, organic practices. You know, there are liquid organic nutrients that say we can be used in drips. What do you think about that? Do you think it's a futile effort? Do you think, you know, what are you kidding yourself for? What are your thoughts?
I haven't messed with any of that. Like, to be honest, like, you know, when I first started growing, I was using bottled organic inputs, like BioBiz. Right.
Right.
But I never ran them through drippers. I always just hand watered.
just not a good idea, in your opinion,
kind of
putting a square peg in a round hole.
Yeah, and I've done it. Like, I made that mistake. That's right. Why I said caveat. I did that, and it was horrible, and right. It took me a minute to figure it out.
Totally.
So don't do that.
That is a tough bridge to connect, the automation part and the organic inputs part. That is really
right, and that's why so my solution is I use blue mats to water my plants. Only fresh water goes through there, and I harvest the fish poop. Brew it out into a compost tea, and then I apply that with my spray rig, you know, so I can drive around with my 50 gallons at a time. And I remember, I'm just inoculating. I'm not watering with it.
That's awesome. Yeah. And that's a good point. That's why super soil is so beneficial, is if you can just water with plain water, you don't have to worry about that gunk in your pipes.
Right. And then you just have one good sprayer or applicator, you know, I can spray with it and I can, you know, water with it.
That's sick. I love that.
Yeah.
Really cool, man. I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up cover crops and companion plants. What do you use? What do you like? What do you recommend for growers of all types?
I'm transitioning myself the last couple of years. I used to use a traditional, mix with vetch and peas and rye and clover. But I found that it was part of the practice was having to mow the lawn. With trimmers indoors, and that was horrible. And then when I first got my greenhouse set up, it was like, you know, 10 times any size that I'd ever grown cannabis. And I had my employees, and I said, all right, here's the trimmers, go mow the thing. And they looked at me like, you want us to hand mow this? And I'm like, yeah, that's what I do. And then 16 hours later, they're still under the canopy mowing the lawn by hand. I go, man, this has got to change.
Right. That's right. The last thing that cannabis growers want is like another responsibility, another chore to do, right?
Right. So I was like kind of, you know, scratching my head on it. And then I talked to Elaine about it, and she goes, oh, I've got the answer. She goes, low growing perennials. And I go, like what? She goes, creeping lavender, creeping thyme, blue star creeper, dichondra, And so I've kind of, the list is kind of growing from there. And so that's what I'm putting in my beds now. I'm starting to, but it's hard to find these, they're not very popular, and it's hard to find in bulk, especially, you know, I had this idea. I was like, I know I'll make a bunch of these packs, you know, put them together on this mix.
Yeah. It sounds like a market gap to me.
Yeah. It sounded like a really, really cool thing to do. And so I started researching where I could buy the seed. Organically. I started there, and I was like, we can't buy it organically at all, you know, hardly, and in quantity, and then even non-organically, it's nearly impossible. So I was just like, this is totally, like, if this really becomes a thing, this is totally a market gap. So someone should hop on that.
Yeah, you heard that, listener. It's exciting you because it's your time. You got to grow this stuff out, grow it organically, and sell it.
And it's a really easy thing to do in terms of farming, because it's a perennial. It grows itself. You just harvest the seed every year.
Sounds like low-hanging fruit. Get on it, listeners. Thank me later. Thank Joshua later. So let's see here. What about companion plants? Have you heard? I even heard that lavender may have some sort of companion plant effects. What do you think of the idea of, planting something near your plants to encourage something like terpene production, for instance? Do you think that's real science?
Totally. 100%. Yeah. Love it. If you put lavender, your weed's going to taste like lavender a little bit, not totally. You know, it does pull those flavors, you know, garlic, all that sort of stuff. I tend to plant a diverse, you know, mix, you know, like most of my garden, I have this greenhouse and then I have some shipping containers, but most of my garden is outdoor now. And, there's so much space and I'm growing bigger plants outdoor that I'm like kind of just, you know, veered towards planting like poppies and some low growing sunflowers.
Nice.
Because it's pretty and it, you know, it brings in the pollinators, it's diverse, and like it feels really good to walk into the garden and see like all the diversity and colors rather than just seeing weed, you know.
And who would have thought that was actually optimal for the garden? I think that's the big shift that needs to happen, right? Is everything we examine in a vacuum, whereas I think we need to get back to a more holistic approach.
100%, dude. And it's right, like what's the saying in permaculture, where if you're going to do something, it has to have multiple benefits. Like Mm-hmm. It's the same thing, you know, like the benefit of me being happy when I walk in the garden and see all the color, it, you know, that goes huge, you know, and affects how I work all day and the care I take of each plant.
Totally.
Et cetera, right.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. We need to get back to that connection. So I agree with that. We're coming to the top of the hour here. Let's see, make sure everyone check out the, give out the website again for the Regenerative Soil Conference.
RegenerativeOrganicCannabis.com.
Check that out. Stay tuned for the second part of this. Probably be right on the back of it where we will do a breeder feature and talk all about Joshua's strain selection. Any parting words? You're talking to a lot of growers out here, growers of all types. We're talking organic, but I like to include everybody. What's your message to the cannabis growing community?
Get outside of cannabis. Get your mind outside of cannabis in terms of like production, how to grow, what else to grow. Like, you know, we know a lot about weed, but there's a lot more to learn about other things, and it really can affect the way you grow weed in a positive way.
That's some great advice, man. How about some resources to get people started if they like, if they're interested in what you just said?
I always tell people to go check out John Jevons' book, if I say his name right, How to Grow More Vegetables. It was one of the first books I picked up and was able to go really deep in. He has all the, you know, equations, how much compost to make. And, you know, if you want to have a family of two or a family of three, like, this is how much garden you need to grow. This is how much carbon you need to grow. This is how much vegetables you need to grow. This is how much protein. It's a beautiful book. And it talks about companion planting. It has everything in there. It's a killer resource.
Love it. Love it, man. Good luck on everything. Everyone make sure to follow him at Dutch Blooms on Instagram, correct?
Yes, sir.
And also follow the show at GrowCast. Make sure you're subscribed, share the show. Check out the Coffee, Health, and Science podcast. Loving that show. Joshua will be on it. Check out Rob Smith's Homegrown Helpers. Love you guys. And stay tuned for the breeder feature. This is Joshua Rutherford and Jordan River signing off saying be safe and grow smarter. That's our show, everybody. Thank you so much to Dutch Blooms for being the guest today. Check out Dutch Blooms on Instagram. Check out GrowCast on Instagram. Remember, mygrowpass.com. Go get yourself a GrowPass membership before we close member registration January 7th, everyone. Go grab it while you still can. Mygrowpass.com. Shout out to Start2Finish710 on Instagram for all your consulting needs. And shout out to Jay Blanked for doing the beat for the ads. SoundCloud.com/Jay Blanked. All right, everyone. I hope you're killing it in your gardens. Best of luck to you all. Thank you all so much for tuning in. I appreciate each and every one of you. Bye-bye, everybody. Happy growing.